That sounds good. Oh, yeah. What you're about to hear is powered by the men of the square table, who want you to know that the garage fridge is for beer only. Duh. Miller Lite. Good call.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On Free FM.
Free FM, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Continuing a very, very funny little segment from last hour.
Yeah, we were going to stop. Oh, did the guy hang up?
Jim? Yeah, the first guy, he's been replaced by someone.
Oh, Jim, you got to call back because we had to take a break there. Jim, I mean, little comment line of what he was going to talk about. Dad wears lingerie when he gets drunk.
Oh, I got to hear that
story. Yeah, Jim, you got to call back then.
Yeah, we'll make a line just for you. 888-520-9710. Meantime, hello, Ricardo.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great.
Good.
Hey, just wanted to let you go. First of all, I wanted to let you guys know I've been listening to this other radio station for about 9 years. And you know what? Just started listening to you guys last 2 weeks. You guys did a great job. I love listening to you guys.
In nine years, we've had 2 good weeks.
Wow.
Thank you, Ricardo, for that backhanded compliment.
Anything else, Ricardo? He just said that hung up. Well, that made our day. Woo.
Finally.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing. So I'm going to take it 9 years, Corolla. Be patient, my friend. Be patient.
He might be able to do it a little quicker. You never know.
Yeah. 8.5.
Yeah.
I give him 8.5.
It's like watching a TV show that's been on since 1997. You know, they finally had 2 good episodes. I've stuck with them.
Normally, the last season is the worst, but no, it was their best.
No, right?
No. Okay, thank you.
Jim and Whittier, you're on Free FM.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great. We're celebrating our 2 good weeks.
Woo-hoo!
Nice. Hey, when I was a kid, like out of high school, and I knew my old man smoked pot all the time. So I go walking into the house one day. I had come across some really good crap. You know, when you're in high school, you don't come across it that often. And I go walking through the house, and I had the really good porn that I knew my dad watched, you know, from snooping around his room as a kid. And
shut your door. Take your keys out.
Your door is ajar. Your door is ajar.
No, it's not. It's a door. I don't see a handle.
And I go walking through the living room, and I threw a big old sack of weed on the coffee table and the porn. I go, hey, Dad, check that crap out. And my mom goes, damn it, Jim, quit corrupting your dad.
That's a switcheroo.
Sorry, that's pretty weak.
But that was a Star Trek line there at first.
All the time.
Damn it, Jim.
You can tell by that fake laughter that we put on.
Yeah, well. Hello, Nolan.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Great show, guys. New listener, love it.
Thanks.
I have a really weird off-topic story. My parents didn't party much when I was a kid, but we went to a Mother's Day thing, family function, everything was all fine and dandy. I was a DD, just turned 16, got my permit, all that crap. The night came to an end. Everybody was a little tipsy. Look at my aunt. She's 78 years old, and she's falling over in her chair. So... me and my cousin's job was to take her back to her car, and for some reason she was going to drive home at the time.
What?
But
yeah, it was cool to drink and drive back then.
Oh. Yeah, back then it was normal.
Nancy Reagan ruined America with that damn Just Say No campaign. Ruined it.
So as soon as me and my cousin start walking her down the driveway, it's kind of a long, rocky driveway. She's stumbling as it is. She has a bad knee. Old lady, yeah, yeah, all that stuff. But then me and my aunt looked.
You can't say that. Okay, she had an accident.
But what 80-year-old woman doesn't wet herself on occasion?
Here's,
that's anything to do with alcohol.
Here's a gift from Gary in Santa Ana. He says, when I was like 15, my dad picked me up at school at third period. He was all drunk and breath reeking, slurring his words. He was like, I'm taking your ass to Disneyland. I was like, what the F, dude? Long story short, he puked next to the churro cart. And after a few minutes, yelled to the people in the line for churros. At least you get a show for your $5 churro, bitches. Oh, I think I'm going to grow into your dad, Gary.
Oh,
your daughter has so much to look forward to.
I'm taking you to Disneyland.
It's amazing what makes perfect sense when you're wasted. You know, I never spend enough time with my kids. I'm going to get them out of school. And take them
I'm
away.
A good dad. I'll prove it. Well, churro.
Take my kid out of school.
I anyway, I have my own drinking story, but I'd get arrested. I think if I told.
Oh, just tell it.
People won't like me if I tell it because it insinuates.
They don't like you anyway.
Well, oh, you're right. I have nothing to lose.
Right.
Can I say
you're
I'm not
in a great position.
Good point. Thank you.
Nothing
when
to
you're
lose.
Rock bottom, it doesn't really matter.
Can only go up.
I don't do this anymore. I want to be really clear about that. No one should ever drink and drive. Please don't. You'll kill yourself or someone else, or you'll hurt. You run over me. Don't do it.
Bum, 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 bum.
I don't do it anymore. I really don't. But, like most of you, at one time in your life, I did. I was young. I was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, did last year.
Like I said, I was younger. No, I did not last year.
At least 4 years ago.
Oh, lying bastard. Get it right. But anyway, I mean, there's a time in your life when you haven't learned to grow up yet. You haven't learned to mature. Have I covered my bases well enough?
Yeah, okay. Fine. What's don't drink and drive.
Okay, we've all been 21.
Why do we hate you now?
Okay. But I remember this weird thought. And I was like probably 21, 22 at the oldest because I lived in my little trailer. And that would be the years that I had my mobile home. I remember coming home from the bar or whatever. And I clearly should not have been driving. And I remember getting halfway between the car and the trailer and looking back. And seeing them
someone
like,
sticking out of your windshield.
No. How'd you know?
You saw a fingernail in the grill.
Oh. No, this is things that make perfect sense when your brain's intoxicated. It clearly is just absurd. And it was winter, so I'm trudging through the snow, going up to my trailer on the porch there. I'm getting ready to stomp the snow off my boots, you know, to go in my trailer. I look back, and I see that my car is still running, the lights are on, and the door is open.
Well, you were done. You made
a sober person would go back and shut the car off and shut the door. My drunk thought was, oh, I'll get it tomorrow. I'll shut it off in the morning. So next afternoon when I woke up and went out there, of course, it's out of gas. There's snow inside the car. But that was the logic. That's how logical you are when you're wasted. Isn't that weird?
You were just glad you made it home. You didn't know if you could make it back to the car.
Right. Fire is
good. Oh, shut it off tomorrow. Anyway. Hello, AJ.
Hi.
What's up?
Quickly saying, I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and you three are actually a reason why I'm going to school to be a radio DJ.
Ah.
So thank you for that.
Once again, we've led someone down the wrong road.
Yeah, we've got to talk some sense into you, AJ.
I'm starting to learn that the slow way. It's either doing that or selling cars. So.
Well, most people that go into radio eventually end up selling cars, so we'll do both before you're done.
So quick drunk story about my father. It's his 40th birthday. And we had a fire pit in our backyard. So everyone's sitting around the fire pit, and there's a big fire going, and he's got a big cup of vodka. And for some reason, he decides to throw the entire cup of vodka in the fire.
What the hell?
Another one of those drunk thoughts.
At the time, it seemed like a good idea, till the kid sitting next to the fire got burnt and lit on fire.
Oh.
Ooh.
A little burny, huh?
Close
did your dad
friends.
Make a wish and blow him out?
Close not family friends.
It's one of those trick kids. He won't go out.
I hate these.
Who put Haven't this on my cake?
Could you run out back so I can see what's over by the shed?
Who needs a flashlight? Just light your kid
can
on
you
fire.
Can you walk into a car, kid, so I can see?
He's a little, like a little tiki torch.
They call him Tiki to this day.
I hope
that's
he did
better
not.
Than Bernie. Ron in Phoenix. By the way, we should be drinking on today's show. I just like to point that out.
I'm in.
Ron, what's up?
Hey, about 10 years back on the I-10 freeway, my dad decided to jump the median onto oncoming traffic. And he didn't hit anybody, but he did wreck his truck, and the police called me to come pick him up for his DUI at the mobile DUI center.
Mobile?
It's famous. They got a mobile DUI center.
I'm like 18 years old going to pick up my dad and lecturing him about drinking and driving.
Would it be ironic if the guy who drives the mobile DUI center was drunk?
Yes.
And got pulled over.
Yes.
Okay.
God, I can imagine as a teenager lecturing my dad about the evil.
Dad, now, do you realize, Dad, how dangerous?
Yeah, you just stand there and talk to him through the bars for like 15 minutes.
Don't let me ever catch you doing this again.
Do you realize what you have done? Do you realize you could have killed somebody?
Listen to me, old man. You don't know. You got some growing up to do.
You need to learn to take responsibility.
Trish,
yes.
would you go pick up Hold your on. Dad or would you leave him there?
Well, you got to pick up your dad.
No, I think in that case, because I think my dad would leave me.
Right.
So in this one time that I have a chance to leave my dad in jail for the night, I think I'd choose to leave him in jail.
Do you want to have a room when he sobers up? You want to have a
No, but you're my fault.
It's not my fault. He'd do the same thing to me.
You're right. So
you're living here rent-free, and you're going out and drinking and driving.
You sit. Why don't you sit there tonight? Spend the night thinking about
what you've done.
Exactly. You think about how disappointed I am in you.
And if you don't like it, get out. Very risky, Frank. I think you'll be disowned.
Yeah.
Very risky,
it's
that
fun,
move.
Though, to have
I'm
going
to give
power.
$20 to somebody to D in the A. So you can really ram it home what you did.
You know, I was in Frank's wedding. We mentioned that the other day. I'm not going to go back to the pain.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up the good times in my life.
But we all went out. The wedding party, if you remember, Frank was in Denver. We went out a few days before he got married, and it was all the guys. The guys went out. We hit
it's called
bars.
A bachelor party these days.
Bachelor party, that's what it is.
In the old days, it was just us boys going out.
I don't get
what are those things called? We're all together, guys.
We're drinking.
For a wedding, and you're the groom, and you're
cigars,
a bachelor.
It was a bachelor.
And,
the last time you're, I don't know. What's
strippers, and... The heck's that called?
No, this was I think after the rehearsal dinner because the bachelor party was later. Your dad wasn't at the bachelor party.
Yeah,
that's when we went to the strip club and stuff. But the night we all went out in downtown Denver, all drinking. And do you remember your dad? You may not remember, but your dad got completely wasted, and you got in an argument with him. You two were going at it, you know, drunk.
Really?
Fight. Yeah, you don't remember this?
I don't remember.
Because you were wasted too.
I was wasted too.
So your dad turned into, just a raging, screaming Bobby Knight, like
really?
Drunken alcoholic, and he started crying. You don't remember this?
I don't remember.
Wow.
And I was embarrassed for you that here you're out with your friends and your dad is so wasted he goes through all the phases of severe drunkendom and
right.
he gets to the crying phase. And then, of course, it was the next day we all met for breakfast and your dad was sitting there and he apologized to all of us. You don't remember that? I'd like to apologize for my behavior last night. I know it wasn't very... respectable, and he's like groveling over himself over his drunken behavior. He remembered that, you know? And I felt bad for you.
Oh, my God.
Well, don't feel bad for me. I forget things.
Oh, okay,
obviously.
Fine. It's fine.
That's the beauty of being a pothead. You're like, I don't remember.
I vaguely remember that.
Maybe it happened so much with your father, it doesn't stand out.
You vaguely remember the apology the next morning. That's for the part you remember, like, yeah.
The bits and pieces of the, I don't remember what the fight was about or why he started crying.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Petty drunk fight. But I thought at the time, I mean, I wasn't drinking that much for whatever reason that night. And I remember the time, wow, I've never seen, my dad has never made a fool of himself in front of me. And once a dad does make a fool in front of you, sloppy, falling down drunk, doesn't it bust him down a notch or two? How do you ever look at him again as infallible, authoritative pop that I want to be? You don't want to be an angry, crying drunk. Doesn't it kind of hurt the way you look at dad?
Well, no, I think at that age, I mean, I want to be on it. Equal level. Now, he'll always be my dad, but at that point, you know, I'm going to get sloppy drunk. Hell, the last birthday bash we had, I was a sloppy, drunk-ass mother effer.
Your dad would be proud.
No, he was there. My mom and dad were there, and I was, like, just falling down drunk. I must have done a shot with everybody at the party.
Talking about your mom's vagina on stage.
And how my dad hates me because I ruined her vagina. And this is in front of, like, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And I'm on stage with a microphone just drunk as a
That's
skunk.
That's my mom. Hey, put the spotlight on her. That's my mom.
There's big old veggie right there.
And she smiles.
Hey, mama.
She smiles.
Someone, just throw me off the stage. Where's the hook when you need it? Pull me.
You need somebody from the Apollo.
So I'm giving you both permission for, you know, the next birthday bash we have. I think it's going to be in September.
Yeah.
With details. Following.
Are we going to still be together in September the way things are going?
Hey, we're on the best 2 weeks ever.
Yeah.
Let's just carry it over to September. Take it away from me, and I will completely understand. You've heard it here, folks. Take the mic away
it's
from me.
Get
me off the stage and put me in a corner somewhere and keep me quiet.
Just prop you up. It's too
I
good, though.
I was a drunken
I can't stop you.
We
it's
do
too
need,
good.
We do need to get one of those canes. We do need a cane. We have like cane girl, cane boy.
Mm-hmm.
Just stand off the side, and when he was
we'll get that tap dancer from a night at the Apollo. Come out and tap me off the stage. I never understood that.
Yeah, I don't know either. But no, speaking of that, Frosty, when you said you look at your parents differently, remembering or hearing Frank's dad's story reminded me. My mom had come out to visit me in California, and I had my friends over, and we're all wine drinkers, and my mom's not really a wine drinker. She normally drinks, you know, the mixed drink or will have a beer, but since she was with all of us, she went, oh, well, I'll just drink whatever you girls are drinking. And I said, Mom, you can have a beer. I've got plenty of beer. I got other drinks. If you don't drink wine, it's probably not a good idea. And she goes, no, it's fine. I'll have a little. So if you don't, if you're not a wine drinker, you can't drink it like you. My mom could drink six beers maybe and be
fine. That's how I drink wine.
And, and if you're not like a wine drinker, yeah, you can get sick. So my mom's sitting there with all of us, and I can see on her face. Now, all the girls are gathered around, sitting on the sofa, hanging out, party. And I can look at my mom and know that she's just not right. Like, she's hammered, but she's trying to act, like, stoic about it. She's, you know, she make comments, and they went nowhere, and it would just be like, I said, Mom.
Now we know where you get it.
Hey, from her. It's that damn drunk egg. Bastards. So she's sitting there on the couch, all of my friends around, and they can clearly see she's drunk. And I go, do you want to go lay down? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'll have a little bit more. And I'm like,
a little more.
So my mom says, I want a little bit more. And I'm like, I don't know. And we had gone shopping that day. I think it was around Christmas time when she was out to visit. So we had gone shopping, and she still had a big Pier 1 paper bag next to the sofa, and she's just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just see the lean, and she's throwing up
in front of your friends,
in front of everybody.
Oh my god!
Into the bag,
was drunk, so she didn't quite get it.
It's hard to get puke out of wicker.
Half in the bag, half out of the bag. They were all Christmas presents that she came out here and bought, like for her sisters and stuff. And she's just sitting there on the end of the couch, just. And I was looking at everybody, I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, don't even worry about it. I'm embarrassed as hell, Red.
How embarrassed was she? I mean, was she still conscious enough to know?
She was so drunk, she doesn't remember it.
Does she even believe it when you say, Mom, you puked in your Pier 1 bag?
I shuffled her off to bed and then cleaned up everything. And the next day, she woke up, and she had to fly out the next day. So now imagine getting on an airplane after, 17 glasses of wine when you don't drink wine, and she was just hurting.
Did you ask her if she remembered? Because if she didn't remember, I wouldn't tell her.
Well, the thing is, she had puked in the Pier 1 bag where all the gifts were, but I couldn't get all of that. I mean, I tried to clean stuff.
That was her carry-on, I suppose.
That was the carry-on because those were the gifts that she was buying for Christmas. So it was, So then I cleaned it up the best I could. But, yeah, I had to say, you got a little sick last night.
You know,
so
if you were a loving daughter, you would have told her that was your vomit, that you puked in there. Spare her mom's face. That's what I would have done.
I
Mom,
want to
I'm
disappoint
really
my dad. I drank too much and I puked.
Or
I can't
she
let
must
that
have left the bag at Pier 1 and you'll send the stuff out later.
Then
he went back and bought everything that was in the puke bag.
I was honest. I just said, you got a little sick last
night. That's because I think you wanted to hold it against her.
No, yeah. I didn't.
Something on Mama.
It made me feel very uncomfortable because it's like when you're wiping your mom's forehead with the white.
Friends or was this meeting the girlfriend boyfriend?
No, it was just a group of friends. It was just friends. Oh, okay. So, yeah. But
Frank is right, though. What a loving gesture that would have been. To go get all new stuff, new bag, and she never knows it.
I would have had not. Yeah, I guess you're right.
You could have done that.
I was going to say, she was flying out the next day. I didn't have time.
You know, you're probably reading her last will and testament. I'm so sorry about puking in your bag. It's bothered me every day.
Oh, that candle sconce. Every time I look at it, I think of little pieces of corn.
Was it as disgusting, more disgusting, or not as disgusting when you're cleaning up Mama's vomit compared to someone else's or your own?
It was, I felt bad for her. I felt embarrassed for her. I didn't really feel embarrassed for myself, but I felt embarrassed for her that, you know, it's like anytime you're throwing up, it's bad enough you're throwing up in front of people you know, but now you're meeting a big group of girls that, you know, your daughter's friends, and you're throwing up in front of strangers.
You know, just didn't seem as icky to clean up as one of your friends here, just like, I don't want to touch it, but if it's mom. I was in there with it at one point.
It could have been worse, Heidi.
Okay, you do tell. Please save me.
Oh, Pete in Phoenix is going to save you.
Thanks, Pete.
My dad was drinking heavily one night and wanted me to take him to his friend's house so he can party with them. Meanwhile, he was drinking that Noni drink stuff. I think it's like that.
N-O-N-I.
Yeah. Is that like that? Drink from some fruit we never heard of before?
No idea.
And it had been upsetting his stomach earlier in the day. We were driving down Central Avenue in Phoenix, which is in the middle of downtown. He told me to stop so he can get out and go to the bathroom. I thought he was going to run into a store and take a leak. He got out, dropped his pants, sat on the curb, and pooped.
Oh.
All over the place.
Oh.
Then he's yelling at me to throw him Kleenex from inside the glove box. I threw him the box and drove away.
Okay, good. Good.
I circled the block and picked him back up. He got into the truck, and he had poop all everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I took him to the nearest gas station and sprayed him with water like Chris Farley got hosed in Tommy Boy. Oh, too good.
Oh, thanks, Pete.
The stories keep coming, but I think we should move on. We should leave it at Pete and move on and talk about something
else. That's tough to top.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to email your drunken parent stories, you can do that. Let's be Frank, 971 at MSN.com.
Oh, man.
And we'll be back. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
From partying parents to partying children.
Mm-hmm.
In Aversham, England.
Aversham.
You know where that is, Frost?
I've heard of it.
How do you say it?
Aversham, I believe.
The V is a B?
I think it's Aversham.
Aber?
I could be wrong, Frank. Maybe there's more than one place.
I say Aversham.
Whatever you want.
In Aversham, England, a British school has launched a pilot program in which students as young as 11 are subjected to random drug tests, a project that has generated interest in Washington.
Mm.
11 years old. Do you think it's a good idea just a random drug test 11-year-old?
What's it hurt?
Absolutely. What's the point? It'll prevent them from doing the drugs because they know they may be randomly tested. That's the point. And if you want to find out your 11-year-old's on drugs, this may be the only way you find out your kid's doing drugs. It's all good.
If you can't tell an 11-year-old is on drugs,
you don't know.
Then we're wasting money on Q-tip swabs. Seriously. Because it says the Abbey School is testing students by mouth swab for traces of heroin. You can't tell an 11-year-old's on heroin?
I thought you meant like smoking dope.
Well,
heroin.
They lump that in there. Heroin, cocaine, and marijuana. Let's lump the three big ones together. Heroin and cocaine.
Now, I don't know because I don't do cocaine, but if your kid is away at school for several hours a day and you only see them at night, if your kid did the cocaine before school at 8 a.m., there aren't any effects at 8 p.m., are there? So how would you know?
If my kid's doing cocaine at school, they probably have good grades.
That's probably true.
What?
And I probably won't mind.
Well, because I got to work on this.
As long as they're a functioning cokehead, I'm cool with that. At least she'll be thin.
This is probably one of those, I mean, maybe it's one of those boarding schools where you send your kid off to boarding school, so you're not necessarily seeing them every day, maybe.
Oh.
I don't know. But it says here, it says parents must get permission for the testing. So you can, sign a release form. If they ever want to randomly test your kid, you sign the release form. But the student can refuse the test.
Well,
then what's the point of the test?
I know. Why do it? If every student refuses, then it's just a bunch of bureaucratic crap that Washington's interested in. We're going to spend a lot of money on this program to have people go to the school to test, and all the kids can refuse?
This is an invasion. You don't have rights as a kid in school. If a kid wants to test you for drugs, if you want to go to this school, we're going to... By the way, the kid who refuses the test, what does that tell you?
Exactly.
They're on drugs.
Well, you might get that
It doesn't matter. You're assuming I'm on drugs, but you have no proof?
Well, the thing is, if little Tina or Johnny comes home and I find out that my little Johnny and Tina have refused the drug test, then I know they're on drugs. So the point of the test is actually irrelevant. They just confirmed it. If you have nothing to hide, you would have taken the test.
You might find
that. Don't be some sort of libertarian.
I'm not going to help you build a case against me.
11 years old, you don't know about
No,
it,
but so. You might be one of those precocious little 11 years who, you know, olds who's going to go, you know, as a matter on principle alone, I'm not taking
at
it.
11?
Of course not. You're a little British.
I'm not snorting coke, you smelly dick.
A little precocious.
Can you take your form and put it in the dustbin?
Since the program began in January of 2005, only one out of nearly 600 students has tested positive for marijuana.
I guess that's a good thing. But you know what? Maybe it's having a prohibitive effect. If they know there's going to be random testing, maybe they're not smoking dope, and that's the whole point of it. 11-year-olds should not be smoking dope. I think it's brilliant. I think we should have the threat of random testing here in elementary, junior high, and high schools here. And the threat alone would prevent a lot of kids from doing drugs. It really would.
What's the punishment? Okay, you take the drug test, and they find that you have marijuana traces in your system, and we're going to kick you out of school. Wow, that solves the problem.
Oh, darn.
For the punishment.
Let's kick somebody out of school.
It goes on your permanent record. Just that threat alone.
That used to be scary. That used to be scary.
You think it's going to fall.
Usually the worst punishment at school is you're either suspended out of class, but you have to go to school, or you're suspended out of school, so you're not going to school.
Never understood that.
Kids on drugs. Now let's make them not come to school. There you go.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money.
What kids don't want to do is go to school more. You should make them go to, you know what, you're going to have to go to
summer school.
Saturday druggy in summer school.
With Mark Harmon.
Hello, Chris.
How are you guys doing? I want to talk about the whole drug thing. I have an 11-year-old. Well, now he's 12. And recently I found a little baggie of cocaine in his room. So I'm all for this testing.
Is it really cocaine, or was he just like grinding chalk?
I put it on my tongue and numbed it up pretty quick.
Oh, my God. What'd you do?
What can I do? What do you think I should do? What would you do in this situation?
I would make sure it's cocaine. I don't know, but talcum powder. Maybe
well, he said it numbed his tongue.
Jock
so.
Itch powder may numb your tongue. I don't know.
I'd snort it all.
Let's ask the expert, Frank. Frank, what do you think?
I would snort it all, and then I'd put the empty sack back. And
Frank,
that way he gets pissed off, but he can't do anything about it. The torture!
Frank, what if you snort it ends up to be like foot powder or oxy wash?
Well, then he won't have jaw itch in his nostrils.
I'm sorry, Chris. What? I'm trying
Frank,
to help.
You have a few kids, right? You're married with a few kids.
Oh,
right?
I got a couple in every city.
One in Kentucky.
What would you do if you found your kid? Seriously, what would you do?
If I found her stash of coke, I'd ask her where she's getting the money to buy coke.
Hmm.
Well, they are on a high allowance, I'll be honest.
Well, and if you're giving them that much money where they can go buy eight balls, well, then you're...
Eight balls? What the hell is eight ball?
Yeah, Frank.
I don't know. It's
just
a term I heard. I saw it on a commercial once. I think you probably should lower their allowance. They're not responsible to have that much money because they have too much time, and they're like, what are we going to do? Let's survive some
cocaine. I can't believe that kids... Where are they getting their hands on this kind of stuff?
You live in L.A.?
Yeah, Green Hill.
Well, school...
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I would take it, and I wouldn't say a word.
Well, that's probably what I'd flush it down the toilet,
not
say a word.
No, flush it. I'm not going to waste it.
Why not say something?
I'd go get a hooker so I can at least enjoy it.
Snort it right off her boobs.
One sentence, Frank. I know what you had. I found it. It's gone. Don't ever do that again.
That's what my mom did with the porno. All the porno she found in my bedroom under my dresser, my reel-to-reels.
Oh, no, she destroyed your old porn.
I got home, and she's standing there by the burn trash can. Just a praying and a burning.
Oh, my God.
I'm so disappointed.
No, but the thing is, too, you got to be careful
with. Do you treat women like this?
The thing you have to be careful with is that if you have a smart kid, and I think your daughter's pretty damn smart, is that... She's just going to be clever enough to figure out how not to get caught the next time.
Well, she's clever enough to figure out how not to get caught. Well, then she doesn't deserve to get caught.
But the point is she shouldn't be doing it. It's not how clever she can be to get away with it. And cutting allowance isn't going to stop it. If she's hooked on drugs, if she enjoys what cocaine does to her, she'll start selling her body to get money. She'll find a way to make the money.
That's why you ask her, how can you afford
this?
She turned
to Robert Downey Jr. less than zero.
Or maybe don't friends share cocaine? I know it's expensive, but don't friends give it to each other? Here, have a good night.
Well, yeah, I know that where I live, like apparently the high school that she will attend someday is known for drugs.
What?
Because it's a bunch of rich, spoiled kids that have large allowances, driving nice cars, and they can go out and instead of pooling together money like we did as a kid to get a six-pack of Milwaukee's Best, these kids can pool their money and go out and just get, you know, bags of coke. Or bags or whatever they want.
Sure, you want them to go to school like that?
Well, of course. I want to get the best drugs, too.
Okay.
But that is a concern that, you know, it's like it's going to be introduced. She's going to see it. Is she going to use it? Is she going to try it? Probably. Am I going to recognize it? Definitely. Mm-hmm. So how am I going to approach it at that point? Well, I'll be like, you know.
What are you
going to do? With cocaine, I want to say that's just a worthless drug. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to that. So stop that right now.
You wouldn't mind if she did pot, though, if she smoked pot.
If she smoked
as
weed.
As a kid, Frank, the answer is you shouldn't even be thinking about this. She's too young to do any drugs.
Well, I'm not
saying
right now.
Well, okay, she's
15. Well, she was in high school. I mean,
in 2 years.
Yeah.
So she's 15,
you
let's
know
say.
What? If you want to be an adult in your 30s, 40s and do something responsibly on your own as an adult in your own backyard, that's one thing. But as a teenager, no. Not for you can't drink.
Well, what if you have a straight-A student who is a pothead? I mean...
Well,
they're a functioning little pothead.
Not because of the pot.
Well, no, but they get their stuff done. They're on a team. They're extracurricular activities.
Well, fine,
they get home
you know
and they blaze up
just before bed or something,
and eat, and then they go to bed. But they're a wonderful kid.
Well, then that's of all the people who need a lesson taught. That you don't need drugs to function well in society, that's the time. Because that person will grow up and lose their job because they'll be busted for drugs, and they'll think it was okay to do the drugs because Daddy let me do it. Daddy said as long as I did well in school and performed well and was a good athlete, I could do drugs. I don't understand.
I never said that you could. I'm saying how would you say, no, you can't?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. No, not, you can't.
I'm not saying the drugs are making her think that she's doing all this stuff, that she smokes it to go to school and get good grades.
Well, if you have the knowledge that she's on it.
See,
grades are irrelevant.
See, I think that if you do
I'm
have
just going to steal it.
If you do have a good kid, you got a good kid, like you said, I wouldn't have any problem buying a good kid a car. if you get good grades and you're on teams and you're pretty decent around the house and you're just respectful.
Would you buy a good kid a motorcycle?
No.
Why not?
Not in L.A. If I wasn't living here by the time I have kids and, you know, I'm living in more, Texas somewhere, or, I don't know.
Somewhere remote where no one drives by them?
Then, yeah, that's a different thing. Or even, you know, up north or something, but not in L.A.
I agree. I don't want to be responsible for raising a paralyzed child. Because the way people drive around here, yeah, it's a death wish on a motorcycle. And I think to handle a motorcycle, you need to be an adult with years of driving experience.
Would you buy a good kid? Would you buy him a souped-up street racer?
No.
I would buy you. I'll buy you a nice, sturdy. You're going to get a nice, sturdy. You can
station wagon.
You can hit a brick wall. No, probably a real sturdy SUV. You can hit a brick wall and you're going to be fine. I'm not going to buy you a souped up. I might buy you the bottom of the barrel, you know, a little Evo. You want to soup it up. You're going to have to earn the money yourself and soup it up. I'm not souping it up.
There's lots of cheaper cars that have really good, you know, safety records, side curtain airbags, you know, like Saturns and Jettas or whatever. I mean, you don't have to get an SUV to have your kids safely surrounded by a safe car. But I'm not going to help you kill yourself.
But, yeah, I think there's a fine line between, you know, you got the parenting and then the relating, and you know, you got to be everything to this little person, you know, advisor, everything, disciplinarian. And it's a fine line you got to cross every now and then. And if they're a good kid and they want something that might be bad for them, like a motorcycle, and kids are stupid, how can you say no to that? Because what are they really working for? I mean, you're working towards rewards. So if they want to get a big fat sack of weed and they got straight A's, well, then hell, who am I to say no?
Then you know what? For your 18th birthday,
I couldn't say it with a straight face.
I'll buy you a sack of weed and a Harley for your 18th birthday.
No.
Thanks, Mommy.
Not your 16th.
No, I'm not saying we're 16. I'm saying this is probably as hard for a lot of people who have good kids.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you know that they had friends who are just idiots, but your kid's still good and can still handle themselves. Then how do you discipline the kid?
Somebody told me once something so profound I've never forgotten. It was, oh, crap. See when that happens.
Damn it. Jesus Christ.
Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you can think of it during the commercial.
Oh, okay.
Don't lose it again.
Want to write it down. And your calls, 888-520-9710. We'll be right back. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
You know they can only keep quiet for a few minutes, so let's get back to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Already in progress. 97.1 Free FM.
This is Free FM. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Our number is 888-520-9710. Right back to El Phones.
I'm drinking.
I know.
I wish I was.
One, too. Robert, hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Hi, giggity-gee, Heidi.
Hey, baby.
Hey, listen, before I make my comment about something I need to say to Frosty, I ran into Tommy Chong yesterday after he left the studios.
Really?
And he was in stitches, like, laughing to himself, and I went up to him and, you know, shook his hand. I said, what's so funny? He goes, hey, man. He goes, I saw the funniest thing I never thought I'd see, man. I go, what's that? He goes, well, I went into the bathroom, man. And Frosty went in, too, and he pees sitting down, man.
Is that true?
Oh, Tommy, how dare you bust me.
That's true.
Tommy, thought it was our secret.
Can you reach over and punch Frosty in the face for me, please?
Okay, no problem.
You already verbally punched me. Ouch! That's overkill.
Well, the reason why is because, Frosty, you made a comment about, you know, if the girl wants to do drugs, and if you take it from her, she's going to end up selling her body for it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of them saying that. Wouldn't you sell your ass for a bratwurst?
Hey!
You did sell your ass for a bratwurst.
And, you know, I'm hooked on them.
See?
I love those bratwursts, and I'll find it. If I lost this job and all my money, you know, invested in the NASDAQ is worthless now anyway, you know what? I'll be on the street corner so I can keep eating those brats. Give me a teenage body hooked on drugs of some kind. You can cut off their allowance. You can impound all the money you think they have. They're going to find a way to make money with their body.
Exactly.
To buy drugs.
So to take it away or to ground them or take their money away is probably not the way of going about parenting when it comes to this.
No,
you have to basically, I'm going to admit to her that I've done everything out there. I've done crystal meth, cocaine.
You drug.
I haven't done heroin. I've never done heroin or opium.
You did.
Maybe
LSD.
I have done opium.
You said you did LSD once.
LSD, the reefer.
And you only like pot.
But no, it's not that I only like that. I'm just saying that I'll be able to recognize, but it's a bad road to completely commit to one, or, you know, you're going to lose everything. It's not good times.
Mm.
How do you, without looking like a hypocrite, because I know you don't
I'm going to.
Well, then how do you tell your teenage kid who's now curious about the same drugs you were at one point curious about, how do you tell the teenager they can't also find out what's good and bad for them?
Because I was only
you
curious, Frosty, because maybe I had a parent like you who was saying, no, don't do this.
Well, right.
What do you mean, don't do it?
Well, I'm glad they did. I did.
Now I'm curious. I wasn't curious before.
See, I was
until
all...
you told me I couldn't.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to try it out. Now I'm gonna find out the facts on my own because no one actually told me the facts. No one said, this is what this does. This is what this does. Here's a picture of a lady who's 25 and she's on crystal meth, but she looks 79.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one to show.
Nobody that I respected sat me down and told me the facts about it. So I had to go out on my own and figure out for myself, is this really that bad? What is the hype? You know, why cocaine, is it that great? It ain't that great. What are people getting addicted to this stuff for? I'm just not an addictive personality. I can smoke a pack of cigarettes one night, never smoke again.
Amazing. You know, it's not that tough to document how bad crystal meth is because it's gotten so much press and coverage lately. There's tons of photos of people without their teeth, and, well, you see what it does to your body.
Ugh.
And you end up in jail, and your life is ruined. You're over as a human being if you get hooked on that crap. So that's an easy one to document. But the other stuff, Frank, since you're actually doing quite well professionally, personally, you've amounted to something.
Well, thank you. That's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
You've turned out reasonably okay. So if I were your teenage kid and I knew that you did all these other horrible things, not necessarily crystal meth, but cocaine and the others, I would in my mind go, well, he turned out all right. So it almost says, I can turn out well, too, if I do them. And who are you to say no to me because you did them and you just told me you did them.
Now, if you want to do them, you can do them when you get the hell out of here. But I'm just telling you now, you don't want to do them.
As a kid, under my roof, under my rules, kids don't do drugs.
But yeah. I'm never going to say, don't, never
well, yeah,
try
see,
it.
My mom did that. You know,
I'm pushing him. Your daughter's going to be a stripper. Mine's yeah. not.
That I'm a hypochondriac and was as a kid, so I don't think there's one hypochondriac on the planet who does drugs. It just doesn't happen because you're too scared. But as a kid, and I've said this before, what worked for me, what sealed the deal, not that I was ever going to do cocaine, but what sealed the deal for me is a video of a man who stuck a handkerchief. He did so much coke that he had no septum anymore.
I've seen that. He's pulling it through on both sides?
He's putting it through one nostril, pulling out the other, middle part of his nose.
I'm surprised that you didn't want to do coke because of that, because you saw the laughter that he got, and you wanted to steal his gig.
Because I'm a hack.
She's going to do a Donald Duck with those hanky in her mouth.
Whatever. But yeah,
is that your Donald?
That's bad. My dad does it great. I can't do it. Like I said, I practiced and practiced.
You practice and practice. This is the best you got. Give us the best you got.
But I haven't practiced in years. I haven't even...
Give us Donald Duck giving an anti-don't-do-coke commercial.
In the color purple.
Yeah, can you do Donald Duck doing the color purple?
I don't know.
Come on, try it.
No, I can't. I can't do it.
The mood is wrong.
I'll practice. I'll practice and I'll have it ready
she'll
for you
next
week.
She'll call her dad. He'll record it. She'll claim she did it.
No. Oh, like I have a recorder. Anyway, but that's what worked for me. I saw that and went, oh, my God. And they showed it, and it was like all, you know, kind of bloody. And I thought, woo, never going to do that.
It worked for me, too. Frank, what's wrong with scaring kids? We're talking, you know, junior high, elementary.
No, scaring kids is fine. Like I said, if you want to sit down, when they respect somebody and that person's scaring them, like the Scared Straight documentaries when they're younger.
Hell yeah.
Took the kids, the bad kids, to the prison.
You want to go to prison?
Let the prisoners talk to them.
It works.
Well, of course that worked.
But
their parents talking to them didn't work. They didn't respect their parents. They respected the guy in prison going, you want to come in here?
Well,
no, you don't.
You should show your kids pictures of headless corpses on highways because they got behind the wheel drunk. You know, a 16-year-old kid getting
his license. Oh, now you're just going over the line.
Well, you got to do that, too.
We did that at my high school, at the end of the hallway, right around prom time. There was always, because I grew up in Batesville, Indiana, where it's home of caskets and hospital beds.
That doesn't work either, though.
So they had a casket. That's at the end of the hallway with, you know, just a skeleton inside and, you know, in a tuxedo, and he was drinking and driving. And
that was the way you walked past to go to the prom?
It was during, like, before prom, like prom week. You know, you'd go down that hallway to remind everybody, look, this week is a full celebration, but this is what can happen to you. And there's an open casket with a Fred from the science class.
Well, I had a buddy. See, it doesn't work because I had a buddy of mine actually die in a drunk driving accident. He was had, I think, four guys in the car. Three of them died. One of them lived.
Mm.
You were the driver, weren't you?
I wasn't in the car.
Oh.
I was in the car the weekend before.
Oh.
And he was driving, and we were drinking. And at one point, I think I was driving his car. I was a little bit less drunk than he was. So I was driving his car, and he says to me, "You know, Frank, it's strange. You drive a lot like I do when you're drunk." And the next week, he hit a tree and was killed instantly.
Wow.
And I'm a 17-year-old kid. I think he was 19. I'm 17 years old, and I go to his funeral, and it's an open casket. His mother wanted an open casket, even though it was head injury.
Open?
Yeah, so it looked like basically a jack-o'-lantern head, because it was swollen from the head injury. And he had to be facing to the left, because the left side of his head was off, gone.
Oh!
So it was a profile casket, open casket, with his head swollen. Didn't even look like the guy.
Oh, my God.
Because she wanted to get the message out there that, hey, you know, this could happen to you.
Did it work?
No.
It didn't work. That didn't work?
You don't think that I stopped drinking that day? That I see the evils of alcohol? Did I ever drink and drive after that? Well, probably.
Well, maybe so it worked on some people. It just didn't work on you.
It didn't work.
It would work on a lot of people.
My God.
I guess it would.
Pumpkin
head. I have a heart of stone.
You're a hard one to get to change.
Even when he says, you drive a lot like I do.
Wow.
Next weekend. Tree.
God.
Dang. Did that at least give you pause?
Was that dead friend Bobby?
Dead friend Bobby. I don't think I drank till an hour after we buried him.
Well, at least took an hour off.
Yeah, to think about things.
Let's pour a shot for dead friend Bobby.
No, I can't. I gotta drive
home. Here's to you, Robert. We'll be back. Mood kill that
one. You enjoying the last, people? You enjoying the last? I'll pay for all the ribs that I've been cracking. Because those jokes I've been just flowing out of my mouth.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.